Praise the Lord. We're glad to be back. You can sit down now. I didn't know that we were going to get back this soon. Just come back through here, and I didn't have any idea that it was going to get to do this. But anyway, we're glad to be back. Brother Joe asked me if I'd speak tonight since I've come back through. And we're just glad to be back tonight in the house of the Lord and see everybody still happy and smiling and praising the Lord. The brother said, the Lord said, my commandments are not grievous.
Amen.
So we know then that if we're grieved in spirit, then it's not because of the commandments of the Lord, is it?
Right.
It must be the spirit of Satan. If you grieve, then it's because of the spirit of Satan. It's not the spirit of the Lord. The Bible said the spirit of the Lord is joy and peace. So then God, he doesn't... Thank you, Brother John. He doesn't want us to go along with sorrows and griefs. He wants us to be happy.
Amen.
Now then, if you've got your Bibles, want to talk about Jesus a little bit, I'd like you to listen to me.
Amen.
I'd love to talk with you a little bit. I guess maybe when we leave from here, we'll go down in Alabama. Found an invitation down there and haven't filled it, so I guess that maybe we'll go down that way. Anyway, while we're here tonight, I'd love to talk with you about something over in the book of Revelation. I've still got kind of a cold. I don't know whether it's having not been up in the mountains so long or what, but it's done something to me up here. But I felt good, but in spite of that, it seems like I've just kind of taken the cold. It's hard to shake off or something. I don't think we've got any water in here. I think it's thick. It's froze up, ain't it?
You got it under there.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
And didn't even know it, didn't you?
I get awful dry in here with the steam. Anyway, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And let's try tonight to really get our minds right in the Spirit of God. Let's just ask the Lord tonight to help us get right in the Spirit of the Lord, will you? Alright, now, we'll read together from the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Now I want you to try with me to get right into the mind of the Lord Jesus. And I used to deny, I didn't understand why it was when you come to church, it seemed like it was hard to get in the spirit of the church and it wasn't home. How many know that? It's really hard. It's hard to get in the spirit of God and in the anointing of church than it is at home. And the reason for that is because you've got so many minds there. So many spirits is divided. They're going all sorts of ways. You can't concentrate. And for God to be able to bless you, He's got to get your spirit. He can't bless you unless He comes through your spirit. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and the only entrance He's got into your fleshly blood genes to make you feel that wonderful feeling that you love is to go through your spirit. And to be able to get into your spirit, the Bible says, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. The first thing he's got to do is to be able to get your natural attention, because if a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. God's got to get his natural mind.
Amen.
Then when he gets his natural mind, then he can begin to inspire him, and his faith goes up.
Amen.
And faith is the door to the heart where the Spirit is.
Amen.
And then the Holy Spirit comes through the door of faith into your heart.
Amen.
Into your heart, and then your spirit feels inspired and it goes all. How many know that your spirit is all in your blood genes? Your spirit is all in your blood genes. That's what keeps you alive. And so then when his spirit comes into your spirit, it's just like putting coloring in a glass of water. It just all becomes one, and you feel him all in your blood genes. And you feel him over your nervous system, that whole sensation that comes from God. Now, the feeling is not God. The feeling is because of a nerve reaction, because of the human elements of the body. It's the sensation. The feeling is not God. The Holy Spirit in you is giving the feeling.
Right.
It's like tongues. Tongues is not God. The Holy Spirit is inspiring you. The Bible said they speak with other tongues.
Amen.
As the Spirit gave them the utterance.
Amen.
Now, it said if you'd been over in Germany, they might have been speaking in English. So it's just the utterance of it that the Holy Spirit gives.
Right.
And it's the same way with the sensation that we feel God within us. Just His presence. His very presence make us feel that way and feel that good. Now, that's why you hear me a lot of times. That the just is not to live by feeling. How many of you know that?
Amen.
A lot of church members is wrecked up because of feeling.
Right.
They've gotten out here in the wilderness and they can't feel the things that they used to feel. And so they're wrecked up and they just got in a state of confusion and they don't know where they're going. That's right. It's like I believe it was Isaac over there when Jacob and Esau came to him. And Eliezer went by the thing that he heard. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. If he had faith in the words he heard, he wouldn't give a birthright to Jacob. He'd give to Esau, because Esau was supposed to have it. But he would not go by what he heard. He said, your voice sounds just like Jacob. But he wouldn't go by that. He said, I filled the arms, and he filled that goat skin that his mother had on him, or that lamb, and he said, but you feel like Esau. So, a lot of people, they go by feeling. And because they go by feeling, then they lose out with God. But what you want to do is go by faith in what you hear.
Amen.
In the word of the Lord. If you go by faith in what you hear, you'll never go wrong. The mind of Christ will always lead you.
Amen.
But if you go by feeling, you'll always wreck up. Because you might feel good today, and you might feel bad tomorrow. You might feel like you're Paul the Apostle today, and you might feel like you're Judas the next day. So you can't go by feeling. You might come to church and feel a real sweep of the holy sensation of God over you one night, and you might come 10 nights and not feel things. You might speak in tongues one day, and you might go 3 days and not speak in tongues. So see, you can't go by that. But by faith in the Word of God, when the Word of God says you pass from death unto life, let that settle.
Amen.
When he said it, I believe it, and that's how I feel. How I feel.
Amen.
I don't care how I feel, the Bible said I pass from death unto life. And if God said it, then God's Word's right, and I don't care to change it. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. That's what it said. That's
Amen.
What it is.
Amen.
So then we just go right on anyway, don't we? Now then, I'd love to talk with you tonight about some things that goes right along with what we're saying. I'd like for you to listen to me and give your attention tonight and do everything that you can to draw the virtue of the Lord. Now, I know before I start talking that there's some of us that are under condemnation. And the reason is because we've got things in our lives that ought not to be done.
Amen.
I can't do anything about that. If I tell you, the minister tells you not to do those things, and you do them anyway, then you're going to have trouble.
Amen.
If I tell you not to be a pervert, and you go out there and you let the devil pervert you anyway, then you're in for trouble. If I tell you not to do all these things that you do, then you go and do them anyway, then you're going to get in trouble. And I can't help it. The condemnation is going to come in against your faith. Your faith door is going to close, and the grace of God can't get into you in spite of you, so you're not going to feel anything. So, but if you will believe what we tell you, and the Bible said thine iniquities have separated between you and your God, said his hand's not short that he can't reach you. He can get to you all right. And said his ear is not dull of hearing that he cannot hear your cry. He said, but thine iniquities that is in your fleshly body has come between your spirit and God's spirit of eternal life. So then God broke it down by tearing down the middle wall of partition at Calvary. He's done away with the middle wall of partition by making an end of sin in the flesh, by making him sin that knew no sin, and by the Bible said, esteem him smitten of God. So then God bruised one body to get rid of all sin. Because sin come by one body, which was Adam's body, then he bruised one body to get rid of it, which was Jesus' body, or his own body. Now then, because the Lord knew that he was responsible for humanity being in this world, he knew that he was responsible for you being in this world, therefore he bore your sins.
Amen.
He bore your sins. Then you're going to have to stop soon, children making too much noise. Go on and teach me. So then, he knew that he took your sins. Or we know that he took our sins. Kind of broke my chain of thought. How many know the mind of Christ is real sensitive? It's like a dove. I spoke of it coming down on lanes. And the least little thing breaks that holy connection, the anointing is gone, and the devil knows that, see. And he doesn't care how he breaks it. And then the preacher is just as blank as he can be. Well, he's carnal. He don't know anything. I would say we know we're carnal sold under sin. So then, as I said, God knows that he has made the creature subject to sin. That is the outer man, the body. We wait for the redemption of our body. And he said, when all these things come to pass, look up, for the redemption of your body draweth nigh, which is the chain. So then God knew that he had made your body subject to vanity. The Bible said he has made the creature subject to vanity, and he subjected the same with a hope of glory. Now then, so then he knows that he made a subject to vanity, so here's what he done. He came down in the body of Jesus Christ. Came down from heaven. That's right. In a body called Jesus Christ to take your sins and all the sins of every drunkard and every harlot, of every defiled person in the world.
Amen.
He took it all away.
Amen.
And today there is no such thing as sin in the flesh. How many know that? God took away the sins of all the world.
Amen.
Every sin of him, Lord.
Amen.
And there is no such thing as sin in the flesh. Therefore, you cannot sin in the flesh anymore because he took it away. Because he knew that he had made the flesh subject to the things of the world that caused sin. And he knew that if he left that charge against you, in the day of judgment, somebody would have said, well, you made me, and you put me in the world, and you're responsible for it.
Yeah.
But God cannot be accused. He said, well, I'm correct. So what he done, he just got away with all the sin of the flesh, and he said, I'm not going to count do's and don'ts as sin. But I'm going to count unbelief as sin.
Amen.
I'm going to just make it a brand of believing or not believing. And I'm going to leave your believing up to your works. If you work right, then you'll believe right.
Amen.
Then you'll move condemnation, faith without works is dead, your works will strip your believing, and you'll believe right. He said, but if you're the wrong kind of person, and you do the wrong things, then your faith will take a nosedive, and you'll be an unbeliever. And that way I can prove and keep you alive.
Amen.
And so it is today, the only sin that there is sin of the spirit. He said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Not the flesh that sinneth, but he said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. I can't help so much being in this world. And I can't help because I'm subject to the things of this world and make mistakes. But I can help going out and doing wrong with a will. I might be overtaken in a fault when I'm trying to do my best to get around. Trying to do my best to go the other way. I might be overtaken in a fault. But God said, I won't charge it to you because I took away sin of the flesh. But now I can help just willfully going out, giving myself over to the lust of the flesh, and over to the things of this world, and being caught in the will. I can stop there. I can help there.
Amen.
And God knows that I can help it. So he told me, he said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And you say, what do you mean, die, little boy? I mean, in the garden, he breathed the breath of life into the man, and man become a living soul. And the Bible said it did. The spirit of life goes back to God who gave it. And God just simply made a statement. He said, I put the breath of life in the human soul. He said, but if you don't appreciate it enough to obey the laws of life that I set up to protect it, he said, I'll just draw it out of your soul and I'll let that soul die. Now, there's a lot to that. We could go into it, but I'm just telling you that's what he said.
Amen.
The soul, he'll just withdraw that breath of life in that soul. It won't be death in the body, but it'll be death in the soul. That's the second death. We die in the body is the first death. But then he spoke of the second day and said, they that come out in the first resurrection to the second death won't have any power over them. Now, we'll never die in the soul because it doesn't have any power over us. Now, a lot of saints have already died in the flesh, but the second death, which was the death of the soul, had no power over them. They'll never die in the soul. They pass from death into life as far as life of the soul. So then we see that God knows all things and he's fixed it to where we can't accuse him. So we might as well get that out of our mind.
Amen.
Might as well quit feeling sorry for ourselves.
Amen.
And say, well, God done this and God done that and God subjected this by because God
praise
has already changed those things around to where we can't accuse
him. Amen.
Now then, God's too wise for you to have a chance to accuse
that's
him of the day of judgment.
Amen.
All right, now he not only did that, but he made a way of your escape when it comes to the soul. Now, so then let's read just a little bit from the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation and see if we can get a few thoughts tonight. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes for them. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now then, I'd like for you to notice one thing tonight. Notice that John here in the first verse of the fourth chapter, John speaking, he was praying and he got caught away in the Spirit. And when he did, he looked up toward heaven and he said, I saw a door that was open in heaven. I saw a door that was open in heaven. How many of you know that tonight that there is a door that is open in heaven? In the years gone by, the door that was open in heaven was not revealed to mankind. There was never an entrance into the glory world as far as being made manifest in this world. There was not a door. There was not an entrance. Man had fallen from the presence of God after the creation, and there was no way to ever get back into the presence of God. Even Satan, who had been casted out of the glory world, he had tried so hard to find his way back into the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible said that the evil spirits wander through dry places seeking rest and cannot find it. Did you know the reason a lot of you are tormented tonight and the reason a lot of you have been tormented in the past? Because your spirit has become one with the spirit of Satan or the evil powers that wander through dry places, and you become one with them, and you are wandering in the same places they are. You're tormented. If it's a spirit of fear, and you give your spirit to a spirit of fear, then you become one with fear. You become a person that's taken into captivity by fear. You just fear all the time. It looks like there's just no way for you to shake loose from it. You're just afraid. You're afraid something's going to happen to your children. You're afraid something's going to happen to your wife. Afraid something's going to happen to your home. Afraid something's going to happen to your car. You're afraid something's going to happen to your soul. You're just afraid all the time. You're afraid. You just can't get away from fear because the thing is enveloped you and you become one with that evil spirit of fear. And it's the same way with the spirit of lust. If you're given to a spirit of lust, you're just lustful all the time. You just feel that thing going through your body and through your blood genes. You're just continually lustful. And the thoughts that go through your mind is continual lust. 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 You lust after this man's wife. You lust after this man's wife. You lust after this man's daughter. You lust after this woman and so on and so on. You lust after automobiles. You lust after cars. You lust after homes. You lust after clothes. You lust after everything that the world can afford. You lust in a continual chain of lust. Why? Because your spirit has gotten in prison to an evil spirit of lust.
Amen.
There are some people that have become drunk off of the cares of life. The Bible says not to be drunken off of the cares of life. Did you know that you can just get so carried away with the cares of life that you just get drunk? Just like you can get drunk off the Word of God like they did on the day of Pentecost. They just got filled with the Spirit of God so much they just got drunk off of it. And people have just gotten drunk off the cares of life. They wanted this and they wanted that. And they wanted this and they just went around in a circle, so to speak. And they just want something all the time. And they found that they just got blown drunk off the desires of this world. There's people that you can't even talk to about God because they're drunk off the cares of life. Their minds are just staggering to and fro. They can't even follow a straight course in life. They can't even pay their debts because they can't control their minds. They can't control their desires. They can't even pay for one thing before they go in debt for another thing. And they're miserable. All the days of their life, they're just miserable because they're drunken on the cares of this world. Now, what is it? It is a spirit. It's a spirit. You're in prison. You're in bondage. When those things aggravate you and those things bother you, it means that you're in bondage. You're in bondage. Jesus said it, that God hath anointed me. He stood up in the synagogue. He said, He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
And He said to open the door of the prisons.
Amen.
That's what ministers do.
Amen.
That's what a true child of God does. We come into the sphere of his Father. They lay hands on the people that need help, and they open the door of the prisoner, and the prisoner comes out.
Amen.
The prisoner comes out. Jesus said, I was sitting in prison, and you visited me not. You visited me not. Somebody said, well, what does it mean? I've been down to the jailhouse. God wasn't talking about going up to the jailhouse. That's why we never visit people in prison. But he said, you're bound in spiritual prisons. You're bound in spiritual prison. The only way to visit a person in a spiritual prison is to fast and pray and study the Word and serve God in holiness and righteousness and be clean so that you can have faith and loose that person from that prison.
Amen.
By the preaching of the Word of God. For the Holy Spirit is bound in prison in the bodies of some humanity. When they're honest in their heart, they love God, but they're too weak. The Bible speaks of the weaker brother, and they're too weak to go on and search and seek after God. I remember Paul one time. He said, receive ye the weaker brother. I know that we got into a day to where we just don't receive anybody if they're not as strong as we are. But he said to receive the weaker brother. And he said, don't judge. He said, because he's not your servant, he's God's servant. And said to God, he standeth before it. And said, God is able to make him stand. And so he said, receive the weaker brother. And then he said, not to doubtful disputation. Well, that is not to be doubtful of him all the time and wonder if he's a Christian because he's weaker than you are. Or not to dispute with him all the time because he doesn't understand the way that you understand. It's not your job to go around disputing with people. It's not your job to hinder the work of God. It's the minister's job to preach the gospel to the congregation. It's his job to dispute with the people. It's his job to correct the people. But not your job to go around in daily dispute and be in doubt and say, well, you believe this and you believe that and we don't believe this and drive away from the house of God. But rather, he said, you go and compel them to come in this house. Leave it to the minister. Let him preach the word to them and they won't get offended. They'll listen to the word. If they're in the seed of Abraham, they'll come to it.
Amen.
Jesus said, Father, not what the word which you give me. If they're in the seed of Abraham, they'll come to it. If they're not in the seed of Abraham, then they'll reject it and go their way. And the Bible said they went out from us because they were not of us, that it might be made manifest if they were never of us. Now then, so then as I said, you can get into prison and then a lot of good Christians can fail. They may be good Christians, but a lot of good Christians can fail to come to your rescue and open the prison doors. They can fail to come and let you out. I've been in prison. I don't know whether you've ever been in prison or not. But I've been in spiritual prison. And I remember in Atlanta, Georgia, Betty and I was trying to do a work for God. We were young in the ministry, and I got into a spiritual prison. And I remember how glad that I was to see some saints of God. I longed to see some saints of God. I looked forward to the time when somebody would come and pray the prayer of faith. I wasn't trying to find out how good they live. I wasn't trying to find out what they believe. Just because they come talking about Jesus, I felt they had more faith than I had. I felt they had more power than I had. I felt they could deliver quicker than I could. I wouldn't be in prison.
Amen.
And so I was glad to see them. You just don't know how glad I was to see them. I prayed and asked God to send somebody. And so they came, and when they prayed for me, I accepted it just like it had been Michael himself standing there. That's right, I believe. I said, Lord, I said, just let them pray. I don't care what they are. Whether they're Baptists or Methodists or whatever they are. If they're children of God, if they believe the word, just let them pray for me. And so they did, and I felt delivered. Today, I don't even know where they even live right now. All the interest in that. All I want to do was get in touch with God. All I wanted was somebody that could inspire me to believe in the word of the Lord that I might get out of prison.
Amen.
And I say, how can I get out of prison, little boy? Alright, the Bible tells us here, John said, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. He said, I saw a door and said, the door was open in heaven. Tonight, standing ajar in heaven for the first time in the history of the world, beginning back here at Calvary, God opened a door in heaven. John said, I saw the ark of the Testament. He said, because whereas there were never an entrance into the kingdom of God, he said, I looked away and said, I saw the door open in heaven. And tonight we have an opportunity to enter into the very presence of God, because there is a door that's open in heaven tonight. Now, Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the door, Jesus said. John said, I saw the door. And Jesus said, John, I am the door.
Amen.
I am the door into
Amen.
Heaven. I am the door into the Spirit of God. I am the door into the revelation. I am the door into the inspiration of the Lord. I am the door to the heavenly streets of gold and the gates of pearl. He said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, he said. And so he told him here, he said, I am the door. John said, I see the door. I see that there is a door open in heaven. A lot of people never get into spiritual revelation, and consequently they never see the door. That's a jar in heaven. But I want you to know that John had devoted his life to God, and he'd gotten into a place to where he saw the door that was open in heaven. If you and I tonight could see the door that's open in heaven, and we could see that Jesus is standing just beyond the door, and he's beckoning, that is the Holy Spirit, and he's asking us to come through the door, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is the only entrance into the Spirit. Now you remember that. The Bible said that no man can come to the Word except the Spirit draw him to the Word.
Amen.
Somebody said, I chose God, and I've chosen this good way, and I'm going to serve God. You never chose God, you never chose this good way, and you're not going to serve God unless God chooses you.
Amen.
You might say, what do you mean? I mean that Jesus, he said, I have come to seek. You didn't seek me. He said, nobody sought me. But the whole world had gone astray. Every man had turned his own way, his own ideas, his own feelings. He said, but I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to seek it, he said. He said, you never chose me. He said, but I chose you.
Amen.
I chose you. How many of you know there's a lot of us called and not chosen?
Right.
The Bible said, let whosoever will come. That's what he called. Let whosoever will come. Now, he called. He called. He said, the rhyme says come. The word says come. And he called. But many of you are called but not chosen. Because he called you and you never obeyed. With many of them that came out of Egypt, the Bible said God was not well pleased. Or even after they come out of Egypt. The Bible said they were cut off in the wilderness because they mumbled and grumbled against the ministry. They murmured and they complained about the messages. They murmured and they complained about God taking care of them. And so he told them, he said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've called you with a holy calling, he said. But one of you are not the chosen ones. He's called you, but you're not the chosen one. Now, but he said there is some people who are the chosen, who are the elect of God, who are those that's anointed of God. He said, these are a chosen generation,
Amen.
A royal priesthood.
Yeah.
Brother, you can be called and not chosen. As a preacher, an old-time preacher, one time made a statement concerning some of the preachers. He said, some are called and some are sent, and some got there because they went. And that's just the way it is. God called some of them, and God sent some of them, and some of them got there because they take the notion they wanted to go. But God has a chosen generation. He has a royal priesthood. And you can be in the chosen generation if you want to, if you'll submit yourselves unto the Lord.
Right.
He said, let whosoever will. Let whosoever will. And so then John, being one of the chosen, he said, I see this door standing open in heaven.
Amen.
I see it standing ajar. That is the door that's open in glory tonight.
Right.
And you can't come to the Spirit except you come through the Word, which is the door.
Amen.
God alone inhabits eternity. He inhabits eternity. God alone. I don't think we realize how little that we are sometimes. Did you know that this world that we think is so big, that scientists have proved that it's only a ball floating around in space? Just one of the many planets that God has made floating around in space out here. So then, where is God? Where is God? This is just one little ball floating around in the great atmosphere or in the great space that God has created. Where is God? Where is God? Oh, he's bigger than this world. When we go to pray and we talk to God, and we talk to God just like he was one of our brothers or one of our sisters, and Why did we just stop and think that we're just a little tiny speck in the universe of God? What? David said, what is man that God should listen to his prayer? What is man that God should take notice to it? What is man that God should hear it? Well, we're just a little speck in the universe. What is man that God has listened to him like he has? Made him a little lower than the angels. Crowned him with the blessings of glory. And set him over the works of his hands. What is man that he would take notice to him or do a thing like that? What is man? So then here we are. What is God? Where is God? If it's just a ball floating around the universe, where is God? Where is God? The Bible said he inhabits eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is, he was, he is, and he shall be. Amen. He's the Lord of the shepherd, the lily of the valley. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's the day spring from on high that's visited his people. He's God. He is God. He always has been God, and he always will be God.
Amen.
He's never changed. He's God the Word. He's expressed himself to us, his spiritual being has expressed himself to us in the form of a written word. In the form of a printed page. What good is the printed page? What good is the printed page? Someday, God will do away with the printed page. Someday we won't need the printed page. Why? Because God, he will make his word flesh as he did in Jesus.
Amen.
He will make it flesh. But since the word has been taken away from humanity, and since humanity has gone into apostasy, then God had to preserve the word by the printed page.
That's right.
Giving it to you and I, watching over to perform it until the day that he can make it flesh again. When it's made flesh again, it'll be miracles and signs and wonders and power and demonstration. Be knowledge and wisdom and desire of what God wants it to be among the church in its fullness. Not in part, but in its fullness. And so then we won't need the printed page when that time comes, because we'll be a living epistle that's known and read of all men. They'll see Jesus everywhere. The Bible said the heavens will declare his handiwork. That the whole earth, the heavens, the earth, everything, even the sea, will be full of the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Oh, it's growing. It's the little stone that was shoot out of the mountain that came rolling down through Babylon, tying down the kingdoms of this world. And the Bible says it grew till it's filled all the earth.
Amen.
Brother, today it's expanding above every bit of ideology, theology, every bit of this science, false, or so-called, Paul said, it starts rising up above and becoming greater and greater and greater. It's filling the whole earth. It's the mind of God being revealed. It's the mind of God being revealed. My, what a day that we're living in. What a happy creature I am. Somebody said, it's such a burden to serve God, Brother Pike. You poor, poor thing. I've never seen a day through the pages of history where I desire to be more than I desire to be in this day. Jesus said many great men desire to see what you see, but they never had the opportunity. He said you entered into the harvest of other men's labors. They labored, but we're harvest in the field. The greatest opportunity that man has ever had. The greatest day that man has ever had. The chance to escape death and to escape the grave. We have the chance to escape death and escape the grave. And still, with all of these things before us, we still like children. We still won't press our way into the kingdom. Still won't push the power of the saints out of the way. And the carnal mind, the carnal desires out of the way. To come in and get this great treasure. This great wisdom. The Bible said all the riches of God, which is the wisdom of God, Paul said, is hid in the Word, which is Christ.
Amen.
It's hid in the Word. And John said, when I started looking for heaven, he said, I found the door. I found the door. And the door was the Word of God.
Amen.
It was the Word of God. No man can come to eternal life, which is the Spirit of God within him, unless he come through the door. No one can do it. You've got to come through the door. Now, no one can come to the door except the Spirit of God draw him. No one can come to the door except the Spirit of God draw him. John said, I saw this great door. The door was standing ajar. Folks, you've got the greatest opportunity that anybody has ever had. There's never been a generation of people that's ever had this great opportunity. And not only that, but there'll never be another generation on earth that has it. This is your great opportunity. This is the great moment that the whole world has waited for. Why? Because we have at last come to the generation that's never going to die. This is the generation that's never going to die. The Bible says the last enemy to be conquered is them. Them. And said when we conquer him, we will look back and we'll say, oh, great, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Did you know that you're going to die? Did you know that every one of you are going to die unless you make this discovery? That's right. When I say this is the generation that's not going to die, I mean the generation that finds Christ isn't going to die. I don't mean the whole generation, because many of them will trample their ashes under my feet. This is the generation that has the knowledge. Now, remember this. When I say this is the generation that's not going to die, I don't mean the whole generation, because they are going to die. They're going to go through the regime of the Antichrist. And then what they don't get through the regime of the Antichrist, we're going to come back on white horses and take kill the rest of them. Till we trample on the ashes of the wicked under our feet, following the great leader Jesus Christ. But this is the generation that has found the knowledge of God. Solomon said, keep searching. He said, search for wisdom more than you seek for gold. He said, call it thy kinswoman.
Amen.
Thy kinsman, he said. He said, and seek after it. He said, and soon thou shalt discover the knowledge of God.
Amen.
The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God in the last days will fill the earth, fill the sea, fill the sky. He said, search and thou shalt discover the knowledge of God. What good is the knowledge of God, nobody? It made the stars. It made the heavens. It made the universe. It created every little baby and breathed the breath. That's right. It created the things of this world. It made the trees. Made the atmosphere. It makes the rainbow to come across the heaven. The knowledge of God. He said, you can find the knowledge of God. If you seek after God, he said, you'll find the knowledge of Almighty God. You can have the minds of Jesus Christ. You can become gods. Satan told him in the garden. He told him, he said, he shall be as God. To know good and evil. I wish we could get into that tonight. He said, you shall be as God to know good and evil. Now then, God didn't deny, did he? He didn't say Satan lied to them. He partially lied to them. It was God's plan to make them like that. Why, he never even told them there was this God until after they eat of the tree. Then he said, now you become as one of us to know good and evil. See, Satan told him the truth in a sense, did he? He knew, because God let him know, that he might tell them for his purpose and for his plan. But the thing that God didn't let Satan know, didn't let the others know, that the heartaches and sorrows that were laid out before them was the process that God would put them through, because they did have to choose good and evil. He did that. He subjected the creature to vanity and put him between good and evil. That good might pull at him on this side and evil might pull at him on this side, as I said the other night. To be able to create within him a mind of where it wouldn't be like a little child, where he could determine between good and evil. Because God doesn't want anybody to serve him by force. Somebody said, well, some preachers just scare people into get saved. If I could scare a person into salvation, I would do it. I tell you before God, if I could scare him into eternal life, I would do it. But you can't do it. It doesn't come like that. If you scare him into eternal life, somebody else can scare him out of eternal life. He's got to come because he loves God.
Amen.
Now we've got to warn the people. We've got to tell them what's going to happen to them. But it's up to them to serve God because they want to serve God.
Amen.
Believe it's up to them to do what they want to. Now God has made a door in heaven, folks. He's got a door that's standing ajar, and you can't enter him to the very presence of the Spirit if you so desire. If you are willing, you can escape the grave.
Amen.
You can escape the grave. If you are willing, you can escape the grave. Now, you can come to church and not press evil. You can come to church and the Bible says men press their way into the kingdom of God because evil spirits are pressing against you. The carnal mind is warring against you. There's a continual warfare between your carnal thinking and the thinking of the Bible. There is a continual warfare. And your carnal thinking keeps going this way and that way and the other way. All around, Satan keeps it going. Always something to keep you from developing the mind of Christ, to keep Christ from translating each one of your thoughts to the Bible mind. He'll do anything to cause any kind of confusion, any trouble, any movement, any disturbance, to cause that carnal mind to be aroused. Once we get you into one mind of the Spirit, then he'll start moving, causing this and causing that. It'll draw you back into the carnal mind. Why? Because it is his desire to keep you in bondage. Because when you're cast out, or when he's cast out of you, he wanders through the dry places seeking rest and keep finding. He's in many of you tonight. Satan is in many of you tonight. And he's working his will in you. And he knows that the word of God will drive him out, and you'll have to wander through the dry places. And he don't want to get out of your life. That's why he keep probing it, keep probing it, keep probing it. Because the very minute that he goes out, he goes back in those tormenting areas. You just don't know. You don't know how he's tormented. You just don't know. You can feel a little of it because it comes into you. But did you know, if you want to see somebody that's tormented, let somebody be possessed by the devil and give their whole life to the devil. And then watch them when they begin to get old and look at their faces. Their faces become so grave and so sad. Why? It's the spirit that is within them. Satan one time laughed with them. He one time had a good time with them. He one time inspired them to do the evil of the world because they were young and lustful. And he could fulfill his desire. He could get the thrills that he wanted. He could get the inspiration that he wanted through that human body because they were young. Young. But see, after he gets to where he can't use them, then he becomes very sad because he knows that body's going to die out. And even if it doesn't die out, they're getting old and he can't get the inspiration he needs. And he becomes very sad because soon he'll have to leave the body. And if he doesn't have to leave it soon, he'll remain in it and he can't use them to get that inspiration that he needs. So he becomes very sad and that person is so sad. You can be around that person is one with that spirit. They're so sad because that spirit has served a better life than God placed within them. How many remember back there in the garden? I read it here the other night when I was trying to talk to you about it. How God, back in the early days, how that he watered the earth with a mist coming up from the ground. Watered it through with a mist until man sinned. And when man sinned, then God began to send the rain down from heaven. What did it mean spiritually to us? It was concerning the inspiration of the spirits that I spoke on. What does it mean to us? Why was it that God stopped watering the earth from within and started to water it from heaven? Because when he created Adam and Eve, he could water from within. He could inspire from within. He could give the holy inspiration from within. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, then God would have lost his creature if he had not watered him from without. The rain on the just and the unjust, sending it down. Keep, that's why it's on the bride today. That's why it's on the hypocrite today. That's why it's on all flesh today. But one day God's going to stop that.
Amen.
He's not going to let it continue to come on the just and the unjust. But he has to do it. He has to do it. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. Somebody says, just God's love to them. I know it's God's love to them because of long-suffering. But really what God thinks about the wicked is this. The Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody said, I thought he loved me. The Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
And the Bible said the prayers of the wicked are abomination in the sight of God. I don't care how much they pray. I don't care how much they repent. I don't care how much they say they're sorry. The Bible said their prayers is abomination in the sight of God. Somebody said, well, I'll just pay my way in. I don't care how many offerings you give. I don't care how many offerings you give. He said the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God.
Amen.
Everything you do, unless you do it in the nature of Jesus Christ by being born again, it is abomination in the sight of God.
Right.
I see people going around with big 10 revivals and just giving and giving and giving. But it's abomination in the sight of God.
Amen.
That's right. It's abomination in the sight of God. God said from the little widow offered her two mites, said she's cast in more than all these rich men. Said it's because she cast in of her living. In other words, it took faith to do what she said.
Amen.
It took faith, and faith moved me. That's what he was trying to tell the disciples. It didn't take any faith for the other men to do what they've done, because they had plenty left over. It doesn't take faith to give an offering if you got plenty left in the bank. But it took faith in God to give her living.
Amen.
It took faith in what moved Jesus Christ was her faith. God is moved by faith. So then we see the inspiration coming down on the just and the unjust, and yet God is angry with the unjust every day. He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. I'll pursue them, he said, until they perish from off the face of the earth. The water coming down from heaven on the fire and on the wheat alike until the time of harvest. Then what do? They go in and they gather the wheat and they take the tares away and they bind the tares in bundles.
That's right.
And then when they bind them in bundles, what do they do with them? They cast them into the fire. But the wheat is gathered into the garners of God. Can you see where the bride's going? Can you see where the bride's going? Can you see these denominational bundles, the Church of God and all these things around you, these Presbyterian churches and Methodists? All of these denominational bundles that he binds the tares in. That's the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. He's bound them in denominational bundles. Why? So he can cast them into the communism, which is a great legal fire that's burning. You've heard him call it red communist, red China, that great legal fire. He's going to cast every one of these the National Council of Churches right into the power of the communism. And communism hates religion. Hates religion. He said he'd bind them in denominational bonds. And he cast them into this blazing fire, into the wrath of these people. Now then, but the rain now is coming on the field. Coming on the field. Now, you know this one thing. You know that whatever the seed is, that's what the harvest will be. You can't make it nothing else. The rain just makes it grow, that's all. The rain that's coming down out of heaven, it just waters the kind of seed that's planted in the ground. It just makes it grow according to what's planted there. If it's a seed that's a bride, it makes it grow into the fullness of a bride. If it's a seed of eternal life, he makes it grow into eternal life. But the rain of the Spirit and the grace of God just makes whatever's planted grow in that fashion.
Right.
Now then, he's sending the rain on the field, on the just and the unjust. Why? Because the inspiration of life was cut off from within man. It could not get within man's heart. To because man let darkness in, he could not get in there to water man from the inside. He had to water him from the outside through grace.
That's
how the wicked has survived all these many years. So then he stopped the water from coming up from the midst of the earth, watering it, to show us by revelation what had taken place. So then what did he do? He watered them from the outside. Watering the outside. But did you know that he said in the Old Testament, he said, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David?
Amen.
He said, it shall come to pass, and in the day appointed, says the Lord, that I will open a fountain in the house of David.
Amen.
I will open a fountain in the house of David. So that he's watered the just, he's watered the unjust. How many remember the wells of Jacob over there? The wells of Abraham. How did they dug wells and they brought forth good water in those barren places? But Abimelech's servants always covered them up. Always struggled and took them away and used them. And you've seen it around the country. You've seen it happening right around in your own area. How did God would dig a well over here? Maybe a Methodist well and it would give forth good water. That'd be a real revival of sanctification. But soon they built a wall around it and they drive Jesus away from it and drive the elect away from it. Then he'd open up a Baptist well and it'd be a good well of water. They shout, have a good time. But then they drive him away from it. Soon they fill it up with dirt and they drink all they want. And then finally, come on down, he opened up a Pentecostal well. And they had a good time, they shouted around it, and God watered them. But it wasn't long before they made that a denomination to him. And but did you know that Isaac dug one well that they never bothered? He kept digging wells and they pushed him away. Digging wells and they pushed him away. But one day he dug a well and they didn't want that well. Did you know the last well that God has dug is the best one of all? They say this is just a hard-headed bunch of people that won't be under no kind of government, that just won't be in no kind of denomination, that just won't be in no way. They say we can't use those people. But it's the best will of the Lord that God ever did. It's spiritual revelation. It's spiritual revelation. It's the will of the Lord springing up into eternal life. Or is it out of your bellies? Out of your bellies shall come the fountain of David. Out of your house, temple!
Shall
come living waters, living waters.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, springing up in the eternal life. The prophet said it's a well. And then he got excited. He said, no, he said it's a river.
Amen.
Praise God, it's more than a well. He said it's a river. It's a river. He just got excited. He said, that's a river. That's more than a well. So then we see that last well was the very best one of all. What is it? It's God giving us revival after revival so that he can keep us alive. But we've come to the hour. We've come to the hour. I want you to get this tonight. We've come to the hour where God is fixing to do something great. He said, I will open a well in the house of David, or I will open a fountain in the house of David. He said, I will do it. I'll put a river within your soul. What was it? He knew that someday, somewhere, he would start watering there from within again. Someday, somewhere, he would get back into the heart of mankind. And in the day when he got back into the heart of mankind, he would water him from within. What will he do in that day? He'll cut off the outer inspiration. He'll cut off the outer grace. There won't be any more water coming down from heaven. And the wicked will begin to wither. They'll begin to wither. Now listen real close. Did you know that as the years go by, God has inspired us with just about everything that a man can be inspired with? He gives us the sense of hearing, the sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, and the sense of feel. And he knew that human spirits have to be kept alive by inspiration. They have to have inspiration. Jacob came in from the field. Or rather, Esau came in from the field. And Esau said, my spirit is faint. And he wanted some of Jacob's pottage. He sold all to the world. Sold his birthright. And in the evening time, as he had his good time, he come in and he sold out. So he wanted the pottage. He wanted some of Jacob's pottage that he had made. And so he said, my spirit is faint. My spirit is faint. Listen. A lot of people's spirit in this day has become faint. Did you know that? They're becoming so faint, the Bible said, even the heart of young men shall fail. The spirit in them is not inspirational enough to keep them alive. The inspiration of the church is dying out. What is it? When they went down through Egypt, you know what happened? When they come out of Egypt, they had a revival because God killed out their enemies. They had a revival. Miriam took the tambourine and they shouted and had a good time. But the church had some dry places to go through. After they had the revival, God said, you ain't in Canaan yet. Just because you've been shouting, playing the tambourine, having a good time. Oh, the old soul, we've gone to Canaan. He said, but you're not in Canaan yet. There's still more revelation to come yet.
Amen.
So they shouted, they acted like a bunch of children, had a good time, and God shouted with them. Had a good time with them. But after a while, they got into the dry places. They got out there where the serpents begin to bite them, Brother Joe. They got into the wilderness, got the murmuring and groaning and complaining. And they said, well, we don't understand. It said, we come out of Egypt, we give up our cars, we give up our home, we give up our everything that we were planning for our children to have college education and everything else. And we just cast all up together and to have all things come. But said, now, where is this Moses that led us right here? So he's the one who promised all these things. Where is he? Just about the time they got out there, the Lord smote him. That's about what happened to Brother Brandon, didn't it? About the time they got out there, God smote him, and he couldn't find your way. But remember, before God spoke Moses, you know what he done? He gave him a law. He said, you shouted and had a good time. He said, but now it's time to learn the word of God. You can't shout much. I'll let the serpents come in on you to slow you down a little. To show you you've got a need for conforming to God's mind.
Amen.
Why, if you let them shout on, they just shouted right on, never learned nothing about God. But when they begin to have a hard time, the serpents begin to bite them, and all those torments begin to come against them, then they begin to search for God.
Amen.
They begin to look for a way out. People begin to look for a way out now because they're going crazy. They're losing their mind. They're losing their health. Cancer's coming on. TB. Paralysis. All these things directing their home. Their children are going wild. Why, the serpents have been turned loose on them. Why? Because God wants to teach them the law. He said, Moses, give them the law. Give them all. Moses, my friend, got the law. He come back down. They had been shouting, they started shouting again. They just shout, that's all they want to do is shout. So they started shouting again. Moses come in off the mountain, and the Lord said, why are they shouting, Moses? Now he didn't ask that when he come across the Red Sea, did he? Well, he shouted with them over there. He had a good time with them over at the Red Sea. Because it was time to shout. He'd conquer the enemy. But he said, what are they shouting about now? He said, now listen, folks. He said that God wasn't in the arrangement in that last shout. God in the rain with all the shout we got today. It's a rock and roll party. It's all because it's something that's built up. God's not in. God is standing all saying, why are they shouting? The mother said, God, he said, because he didn't know. He didn't know. He couldn't answer God. But the Lord said, they shouted over a fallen calf. What is it? He said, they've taken up such a big offering. They've got a big tent. They've got tractors. They shout over the tractor. They drive the tractor through the tent, blow the horn, and say, look at me. Look at me. Shout over gold. People would give the rings, they give the bracelets, they give their watches, they give everything. And they molded into a golden calf and they had what they call a shouting with
riders.
But God said, Moses, he said, get out of the way. He said, get out of the way. He said, I'll destroy all of them. But let me tell you, folks, the grace of God is the only thing that's keeping God from destroying them. They've made a mark of religion. They've misled the people of God, but they've caused God's people error. And only the grace of Jesus Christ is allowing for the mistake. If it wasn't for Jesus, hold up his hand and say, wait a little longer, Lord. If it wasn't for the ministry of God, this earth, and said, wait a little longer, Lord. There's still a few elect out there. Wait a little longer. If it wasn't to let God destroy them off the face of the earth, they've been corrupt. They've done everything from the jitterbug to the boogie-woogie under the tents. And in the temples of God, he said, the abomination of Daniel, they spoke about making the spirit, I leave the church and making the temples desolate for the overspreading of the abomination, the things that God doesn't like.
Right.
He said they've done it in the temple of God. Now then, he said, Moses, he said, them people are shouting over their riches. He said, that's all they're doing.
Moses went down there, and as I sit here one night in the service, he ground it up. He ground it up, and they had to swallow it down. That's right. And I said this the other night, Lord, I'm going to have to swallow them big tents down. Because God's going to send a man of God to them, and they're going to have to swallow them if they're the real saints of God.
Amen.
Right? You're going to see that hell is going to be bitter. Why? I went to one not too long ago. The next thing they had him up for $25,000 because he rejected God. He had to swallow hard. He's still swallowing. He will swallow because he left the God. What is it God said? You're not in the Canaan land yet? Going through the dry places. Said the evil spirits wandered through the dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. You hit the dry places. How many of you know that Satan's kingdom is between heaven and earth? When you leave this earth, going to heaven, and you see the door, and even you just see the door, and you leave this earth, going to heaven, you've got to go through those regions of the damned. Sure you have. Sure you have. When Jesus died on the cross, where did he go? He went to the heart of the earth. Didn't he? But he had to go through the regions of the damned before he came to the resurrection to show our journey. He'll protect us, isn't he? He died to take our place. Sure he is. Alright? Now then, where are we right now? Going to the dry places. Dry places. You say, what kind of dry places? The rich man said, just give me a little of the spirit. I just want a little sip of it. Just let me taste the waters of life. That's all I want. He said, let me taste of it one more time. He said, I'd be happy. But those evil spirits have been cut off from the presence of God. They've cut off from the waters of life, and it's dry out there. No inspiration. What is it? It's because they've not come to the Canaan land of God. The church is still going to the dry places because it hasn't reached the Canaan land yet. But we're approaching the Canaan land.
Amen.
Joshua is being moved in by God, and he's going right on over Jordan.
Amen.
Now, how many of you know what going over Jordan is? The Bible said all of them was baptized in the Red Sea unto Moses, and in the cloud unto Moses, and the fire was there, which was fire, spirit, and water. All three baptisms was that unto Moses, wasn't it? They were baptized unto Moses, and they moved with the cloud. The little tents just moved when the cloud moved. And then it stopped. When the cloud wasn't moving, it stopped. But a lot of them didn't stop, did they? A lot of them just went on anyway. A lot of them told Joshua, said, we'll just take our inheritance on this side of Jordan. Why, we'll just settle for the big tractors, and we'll settle for the tents, and we'll settle for the bank rolls, and we'll settle for the new cars, and we'll settle for... Oh, Joshua, all right, go ahead. Said, well, go ahead and fight with us anyway. They said, well, we'll go to church with you. We don't mind going to church with you. We don't mind giving an offering. But said, we ain't looking for Jesus come. Our heart's not with Jesus coming. Oh, we're satisfied over here. He's made us pretty well off over here. Made us pretty well off over here. So then they did not go across Jordan. What is Jordan? Death. Death. They did not conquer death, did they? They did not get the revelation, did they? They did not follow the Holy Spirit in the mind of Christ and say, this, where's thy sting? They said, we'll settle on this side. So they're going to those dry places. They're wandering through those dry places. But let me tell you something, folks. We're on the verge of crossing Jordan. We're on the verge of crossing Jordan. We're right now getting ready to cross over Jordan. That's right. Now you say, well, Pike, you say, we've already passed from death to life. We have in our inner man. We have. We've been translated into the kingdom in our inner
man. Amen.
But I'm talking about the redemption of our body.
Amen.
The change of our body when our bodies won't die anymore. When they'll become immortal, they'll become eternal. Paul said there's a natural body and a spiritual body. We've borne the image of George Mike and Brother Edwards and Brother Joe. He said that we're bearing the image of the heavenly, which is the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The fullness of his image. That's the spiritual body. That's the heavenly body. Now that our natural mind is our death, how many of you know that a mind is a spirit, and a spirit is what causes a body to conform to its image? That's why Brother Edward's children conform to his image, and Brother Joe's to his image, and my children, my image, is their spirit. It causes it. It causes it to conform. And how many of you know that you got the Spirit of God to cause you to be conformed to his image?
Amen.
It'll make you into his image.
Amen.
When I had the mind of Christ, I was conformed. The mind of man, I was conformed to my daddy's mind. But now I've got the mind of God being conformed to his image.
Amen.
We don't know what it looks like, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. Praise God, because we've got the hope of purification with us. This is what brings the inspiration to purify, Jesus said. Keeps us clean. Now then, we still headed for the Canaan land, but the church is going through the dry places, moaning and groaning and saying, where's the revival? Where's God? But God's still here. God isn't dead. God's still among us, though we mumble and grumble and complain. God is still here. Why the rest of them having a shout good time and we're not. Because we're seeking God. Joshua and Moses and Caleb was all looking for God while the rest of us was shouting over the good times. Let the good times roll, we call it. You know how many got in the Canaan land? Joshua and Caleb. That's all. All of them had their good times. All of them had their rock and roll parties. Sure they did, but they didn't go into the Canaan land. They didn't get to Revelation. I told a man the other night, when the Bible spoke at midnight cloud, when they all came and the Lord had taken the five wise virgins and the five foolish, come knocking. Come knocking. He said, it's too late. He said, it's too late. So the blind is shut in now. She's shut in. She's done gotten the revelation. She's shut in. Her message of kindness, her message of forgiveness, her message of outstretched hands. He said, it's over. Said, because you didn't conform to the image of revival of the world, over. And so her message is judgment upon you now. Not let whosoever will, but telling you you didn't straighten up. You didn't live right. You're not clean. You're not living holy. He said, she's shut in now. Shut in. He said, you were foolish. You settled for the big times and the good times. You settled for that. Said, you were foolish. You were foolish. You settled for those things. But you didn't follow revelation. You didn't care about the all of God. You didn't care about the infinite spirit. You didn't care about the righteousness of God. He said, you want a barrel. So you got it. Now what is it? They're settling for all those things I challenge. But the wise virgins is pressing in for the all. They know the night's here. How many know what darkness is? It's the Trinity teaching coming to the world. It's the power of Catholicism. It's a carnal mind of darkness that's enveloping the people. And the mind of Jesus Christ is being shut out. Now, just a few of them got the mind of Christ. It's being pushed out of the world. He said, where will it stay? Why, you got Protestantism in the land. Where? He said, because soon the darkness will come. While the mind of Christ is here, since you've had America established by the mind of God and gave you freedom, established all the principles of religion, said, work for God. Said, because when Catholicism takes over, nobody will work. Nobody. They'll kid you. They'll kid you. Think they do God's service. Nobody can work in the darkness. Wish we had time to go into the hours of God. But anyway, let's go on the inspiration. What is it? He said he would cut off the waters from heaven. All right, now listen real close. He has cut the waters of heaven off. Say what you want to. Say what you want to, but he's cut it off. Sure he has. That's the reason it's so dry in the churches. That's the reason you can't shout. That's the reason you can't get a revival. That's the reason things ain't going like you want them to go. You say, but they're still shouting over the tents. Sure, it's fleshly inspiration. It's rock and roll, but even that's wearing off. God has given inspiration through the medium of the five senses all down through the years because he knew to keep man's spirit alive after he got separated from the Spirit of God. They had to have temporal inspiration. Temporal inspiration. And he gave them food to inspire them. Food refreshes them, but their spirit is faint like it did Esau. He gave them sex to inspire them. That's right. Family relation to inspire them. That's inspiration. He gave them beautiful things surrounding to inspire them. He let them have ball games. He let them have parties. He let them have all kind of things around them to inspire them. New inventions. To give them inspiration to keep them alive. But now man is growing weary with all of his inventions. He's growing tired. The ball games don't inspire him anymore. The televisions don't inspire him anymore. Why? God has cut the waters off of him. That's right. Solomon spoke of it. He spoke of it when he spoke about the silver cord being loose. Now then, here it is. Oh, we're going through the dry places. When those waters from heaven stop, it caused people to go through the dry places, the regions of the dam. That means that we're getting close to kingdom land. Satan's kingdom is between that. Between Egypt and Canaan land was the wilderness where the serpents were.
Right.
And we've come out of Egypt, and we're almost in Canaan. We've been going through the dry places. God has cut the inspiration of life off, and people are dying. That's why we've got so much cancer on TV. They just can't find no joy. I don't care what they do, they're still sad. You can crack jokes, but it don't thrill them. They're still sad on the inside. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know you're sad. You know no matter what you said, you're still sad. The only thing that makes you happy is when you really believe God's on your side. The very minute you believe God's for you, you get inspired through your impression. Now he's cut the waters of heaven off. Why? It's to let humanity perish. It's to let humanity perish. It's to stop the blessing on the unjust. It's to let the terrors dry out to get ready to burn. But what is he doing to you and I? What is he doing to us? While the nations around Moses perished because they didn't have God, what was he doing to the children of Israel? He was leading them and giving them his word. Did you know that God, right now, within our hearts, right now, did you know that he's opened the fountain in the house of David? And did you know that he's inspiring us from within with revelation? He's giving us revelation to keep us alive. If we go through these dry places, he's inspiring us, keeping us alive with revelation. one revelation right after another, and we get inspired, but the rest of the world perishes.
Man, that's right.
We're kept alive. Kept alive. Kept alive. Why? It's the end of the wicked. The end of all flesh is at hand. Nor said, it's the end of the wicked. We come to the end of the way. God, now, He's opened up that fountain here. And He said, I'll just send the rain on the just and the unjust to the day I open the fountain. Said, when I open the fountain of the house of David, said, I'm going to cut the waters off from the outside, and then nobody will get a revival. Nobody will get an inspiration except the spiritual Jew. When he turns back to the natural Jew, it shows that the Holy Spirit has turned back to the spiritual Jew. Clothes himself within, in us, to stop the revival to the world. That's right. Did you know there's no revival to the world when the inspiration is cut off, it comes down upon all flesh? He said he poured out on all flesh, but when he stopped pouring out on all flesh, there's no revival to the world because there's no joy, no wooing. That's why they don't come to church anymore. But the spiritual Jew is being ministered to.
Amen.
The Bible's open. Amen. It's open. The inspiration is here. Now he said, what are you talking about? I said, there's a door open in heaven. And that door is the word that's made spirit in our heart. And just like you go down to the gym, you take your cotton, you put your cotton down there, and the big fan pulls on it. I said, it brings it through the screen and takes all of that stuff out of it that was mixed with it. God, the great power of drawing, is drawing us through His Son Jesus, screening us down, getting the good part, dropping all the other signs, screening us down through the Word, drawing us, the Spirit's pulling us through the Word. His Son pulling us through the door. The door that's open in heaven, the Holy Spirit is pulling us through it.
Amen.
Screening us down. Why? Now, get this, we're going to try to come to a close. In the garden, there in the garden when God spoke, if man had believed God's word, he could live. The Bible said, by faith, the just shall live. By faith in the word, they draw the eternal inspiration of life. They will draw.
Amen.
By faith in the word. But when they were cut off from the word by unbelief, then they went into apostasy. Went away from God, didn't they? God's word has spoke life into them and breath into them. Did he do it? God's word spoke them into existence and spoke life into them. God's word did it.
Amen.
He set the whole course of the universe according to the way he wanted.
Amen.
But did you know that when man sinned, God's word spoke again and said, thou shalt die. His word changed the course of the universe, didn't it?
Right.
He appointed him unto life. He changed the course of the universe with his word. He appointed him unto death, didn't he?
Right.
Didn't he? All right, God has spoken again. After all these many years, he spoke again. He spoke man unto death, and you told your children told their children, and their faith was set to die. And the spirit of death coming to the advantage of them because everything in this world orbits around the word of God. Did you know that? There's no human mind, no human spirit, no element that can escape the Word of God. Everything orbits around the Word of God. That's why you believe like you did. He appointed you unto death and you can't escape the Word of God. But He's come back and He's spoken again. He come back in the body of Jesus Christ. And He said, He that believeth on me, He said, the works that I do, and said, if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and believe in the name of Christ, that He's passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Now, the same word that spoke you unto death, that spoke the world into existence, is speaking the word out of existence through the mouth of His body of many members.
Amen.
And He's speaking and changing the course of the universe again. That we can speak to our children and educate them unto life instead of unto death.
Amen.
Faith in this word, you'll set your minds again. Amen. And you'll live forever if you want to go by the way of the grave.
Amen.
Because it's the hour when the knowledge of God is revealed. It's the hour when God has given the mind of Christ that created all things.
Amen.
And our minds orbit around the word. It orbits around the word. And so these justices are orbiting around the word to educate our children unto death. Now I tell you in the name of the Lord, you pass from death unto life. You're the generation that can live. You don't have to die.
Right.
Let your minds orbit around the word of God. Say that I'm alive. When we get healed, what do we have to do? We have to believe that we're healed before we heal. Don't we? We have to believe that we're saved before we're saved. Don't we?
Amen.
And we've got to believe that we're changed before we changed. To get the change. Everything of God is a confession. And faith. You can leave it up here and it don't work. But that's where it starts. You have to start confessing up here in your intellect. And then it don't work. But but you keep on telling yourself, and after a while it gets into your heart and becomes faith.
Praise
and you're changed. Change. You confess your healing to God.
Amen.
After a while it'll become faith.
Amen.
Amen. It'll become faith. And you'll be healed. And you do the same thing to salvation. You just keep confessing it up here. After a while you get to believe it down here. And then the Spirit of God saves you. And the same way with the change. When we say that we pass from death unto life, that God is full. And said he sanctified us forever, perfected us forever, and changed us and translated us into the kingdom of God. If we start confessing it and believing it, it's not going to happen to us. Because everything orbits around the Word of God. Somebody said, I can't confess the lie, Brother Pike. Don't you know that when you confess your healing, that you're not confessing the lie in the foreknowledge it was seen before the foundation of the world and finished?
Amen.
Don't you know your salvation was there and was elected according to grace? Don't you know God saw the change in your body? He's already seen it glorified.
Amen.
And you start confessing it to make it effective. Make it effective. Faith, that's what Enoch discovered. That's what Elijah discovered. It's faith in God's word.
Amen.
We're the generation that's discovered the revelation and the knowledge of God. And we're ready to go out. The rapture is at hand.
Amen.
But the world doesn't know anything about it. How can I have the rapture and faith of Jesus Christ? It's not my faith, his faith. The faith that was once delivered to such. How can I have it, Brother Pike? How can I have it? You keep confessing. Keep confessing to God. Keep believing. Keep confessing to God. And after a while, you'll find, and this is the way he does it, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation. This is the way he does it. He reveals a truth in each season. We know in part. He reveals a part of his mind in each season. He reveals the truth, and if you'll believe that truth, you've grown that much and changed that much. Like the song says, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face is changing me. From glory to glory. Now then, when the Lord said back, we back yonder, that I've justified you. We latched onto it, didn't we do it? And then when Wesley said he sanctified you, we latched onto it. And another one said he filled you with the Holy Ghost, we latched onto it, didn't we? Said he's healed you, we latched onto that too, didn't we? Why? From glory to glory. His truth revealed in the season.
Amen.
Then he come on down. He justifies. He sanctifies. Then he got a little closer to that. Said he's perfected you forever. He's made you perfect from now on. I don't care how much condemnation. The Bible says your heart to dig. God's great in your heart knows all things anyway. I don't worry about the condemnation. The Bible says he's made me perfect forever without spot, wrinkle, or wrinkle. Who said it? Then I need that kind of faith to change my body. I need a helper faith because as long as it's broken faith, it's human faith. But when I believe in the mercy of God with all my heart, it's Christ.
Amen.
It's unbroken faith.
Amen.
It's translated faith. In the Word of God, the same thing that translated Jesus as he stood on the mountain and was transfigured before the people.
Amen.
He didn't have to die except for your sins. He done found the way to the God.
Amen.
He done found the way. God didn't have to die either. The only thing was he was living in the age where he couldn't escape death. That's all. God had a purpose in it. Had a purpose in it. But he did let two men slip in, and Enoch and Elijah, to show us it could be done. He did let the Son of God, our example, stand on the mountain and show us it could be done. Paul did say in the last days, I show you a mystery, will not all sleep but be changed.
Amen.
Be changed. All those things won't die. Now listen to this right quick. We're going to close. I promise you will. Those people back there were perfected in part, according to their faith, according to the measure they've been given. But they had to pay the penalty of death. But we of this age, we have to go through the suffering of fears and torments and torments that they didn't have to go through with. Because they went through the physical and had to die in the physical. But we're going through torture of the spiritual. But what's our reward? They had to die. We got the fullness of the knowledge, fullness of the Spirit that's given to us by measure. Said, my words of Spirit. We'll get the fullness of the mysteries of God and revelation of God being finished, and we don't have to die. Well, I'd much rather be in this day. I'd much rather live a little closer to God, go through a little more torture. And not have to die and go by the grave. Then to live back there and have part of the knowledge and get by a little easier in the flesh and have to die. We're living in the great age. So then from glory to glory we're changed, folks. And this last bit of revelation is being made known. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. I don't care what the carnal mind said. The Bible says you're perfect forever. I don't care how many times you stumble, how many times you fall. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. The Bible says you're perfect.
Amen.
If God says that I ain't going by feeling it, the Bible says that I believe it. I'm perfect by Him.
Amen.
For He has perfected forever them that are sanctified and are believing and sanctified.
Praise
the Lord. For the Bible said He sanctified me once and for all by the offering of the blood of Jesus. So then, this last thing is translation. We pass from death unto life. Let's believe. Let's believe that we're in the hour of the translation. Let's believe. Let's believe. I'm telling people all over the country everywhere I go. Let's believe. Let's believe. This is the hour, and God moves by faith. When you believe, God moves. When we believe that we're in God's hand and ready for the translation, the rapture, God's going to move.
Amen.
He's getting us all into the mind of Christ, which is the Ark of Noah. He's getting us all in there. One at a time, he's getting us in there. Now he's beginning to shut the door because he's turning back to the Jew. He's beginning to shut the door. Revival is over to the world. God's beginning to shut the door. He's getting us all in there. It's just going to be like this room. You fill it with gasoline. After he gets us all in the mind of Christ, the Bible said down in Egypt, Joseph got all of them shut away just right, and he revealed himself to them. I said, I'm Joseph. The Lord is in our midst. He's in our midst. I know you don't see him, but he's in our midst.
Glory to God. Oh, shut into the mind of Christ. And the revelation of God is going to say, I'm Joseph.
Oh. And that inspiration is going to be just like a room full of gasoline. You strike a match and we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. Amen. He's getting us in. He's getting us in. The door is closing. Don't be left out, folks. Don't be left out. This is the last glory that's coming in for that change. Now I want to be changed, don't you? Become one with the Word in your thinking, one with the Word in your believing, one with the Word in your living, to be the bride of the Word, to be one with Him. Will you do that?
Lord, let's stand together.
May the Lord bless you. I'm going to finish up with this as we stand together. Evil spirits have to have inspiration. Now listen real close. This is why they are. Evil spirits have to have inspiration. They're wandering through dry places because they're cut off from the inspiration of life. Now, they are made greater than men. Man is a little lower than the angels. He doesn't need as much inspiration to stay alive as fallen angels because they've lived on a greater plane. They know a greater living. And you heard me say the other night, God said to draw us. They keep searching for that great inspiration to cause us to follow from a primitive state to a perpetual state to come to the presence of God. My God created Satan in the first place. But now, those spirits have to have a double portion of inspiration. Whereas you as a man with your wife enjoy the fellowship of your wife. On a normal, the Bible said moderation in all things. On a normal, moderate basis, your inspiration comes. If you eat moderately, your inspiration comes. If you just ride moderately, not get a spirit, just ride. If you do these things moderately, everything gives inspiration. Then God is with you. God bless you. But when you go beyond that with your wife, when you go beyond that with your eating, when you go beyond those other things, then what happens? It's devils. A devil's got a hold of you because he has to have more inspiration to stay alive. He's driving you, using up your body because it's an evil spirit. You're to be temperate in all things, and he's plaguing you. He's using inspiration. He's got to have more inspiration than you've got to have. So he's pulling at you. Pulling at you. How many of you understand what I say? All right? To get you loose from these devils, what did God have to do? Now listen to this real close. As long as you nourish a plant that's green and the worms is in it, it's just going to breed more worms and it's just going to eat more of the plant. Is that right? Because you're nourishing that too. If you got cancer in your body and you keep nourishing the body, you're nourishing the cancer. Is that right? Alright, as long as God sends inspiration down and there's demons in your body, he's nursing you, but he's also nursing the evil spirits of those that are not like God out yonder. They're plaguing your body. But when he starts you through the fasting hour of abstaining from his spirit in the sense that he's cut it off from heaven, you're searching for it, but you can't get to it in the outer man. Remember, sin works in the flesh. And that means that he's getting rid of the worms in the body. See, they have to die out because they ain't getting no life. I know you die out outside too, but they die. You're supposed to already be dead by baptism anyway. But on the inside, he's keeping you alive. Keeping you alive because they're coming out. Now listen, when you're in the grave, the worms get you. When you're buried in the grave, the worms start feeding off of you after a little while. When you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're buried in the grave. And when the demons see that you're dead out there, what do? They start feeding off your body, the worms. That's demons. They start feeding off your body. But then comes the fire on the dry places. The body begins to dry up on the outside because they don't get any inspiration. It begins to dry up, the fluids begin to leave it. But the worms begin to die too. Because they have to live off the inspiration of the Then what happens? Then is when if you've got life on the inside of you, if you've got the fountain of David, then you give life back to the body if he's killed out all the worms. You begin to come alive again. I feel myself very alive. I feel feel myself coming alive again from that inner man. I know we went through some dry places, some hard places that just about grieved me to death. I think it did grieve me to death on the outside. But on the inside, I discovered a fountain that's loose in there inside of me. And it's getting life to me, and I'm coming alive again. In fact, I know you can look at me and tell I ain't become young again, but I had to look in the mirror this morning, or today. I said, "My, I believe my youth is being renewed." I do. I feel like my youth is being renewed, coming alive again. Get ready for the hour of translation. Praise God, I feel like a 16-year-old boy on the inside. Amen. Coming alive. Coming alive. How many of you understand what I say? Let's get rid of those evil spirits. Let's work with God. Let's just knuckle down and batter and say, "God, this is right anyway." Let them rock and roll into hell if they want to, but I'm going to follow revelation. I'm going to follow God. Inspiration. No inspiration. I've got a fountain on the inside.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Father, tonight we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this service. For these people that's been so attentive, we pray. Lord, in your great name that you bless them. Lord, deliver them from every power. Open the doors. Open the prisons, Lord. And let the spirits go free. I ask you to do it. Break the yoke from off of their mind that they might believe.
Yes.
Lord, and escape condemnation by faith in your word. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Somebody
come and
stand.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad that I got to come tonight. Be with you. I didn't know I was going to come, but I got no idea. I'm glad to be here. I feel that we've got some good folks here, people that love God and
some material for the bride.
And I want to reach you. I wish they had more time to go into Revelation.
Let's sing it.
bound to these evil spirits that we spoke of tonight, if you're wandering through the dry places within, God can give you deliverance. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray for this sister. Father, we prayed for her before. We prayed earnestly and sincerely. We pray again for her, that you might bless her and might heal her heart. Father, that you might give her inspiration. The thing that would trouble her, Lord, that's in her life, I pray that she would give glory. The same thing that's in another woman's life. I pray that you would please the Lord for your sake, for your name. Give her the inspiration of life. Let her feel her fountain is open to her house. Let it go. Fill you to it. I feel the faith touch you. Let it go. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we pray earnestly, we pray sincerely. Father, for this mother, Satan would place a yoke about this mother. Lord, would trouble her and cause her to be ill, Lord. Because of much sorrow, Lord, being already swallowed up. I pray that you move the sorrow. I lay my hands on my sister. I lay my hands spiritually, Lord. Father, upon my sister that she's standing for. Break the door in Jesus' name. Pray. I feel her faith going up. Feel the deliverance coming. Right now, Lord. To the mother. Pray.